You are listening to WGXC 90.7, Acra, Hudson, Catskill. And this month's edition of The Score, where we are featuring the soundtrack to the film Brother's Keeper. I am Lisa Thomas.
And I am Margot Pelletier.
And we are your hosts. At the top of the show, you heard the opening theme music from the 1992 award-winning documentary Brother's Keeper. The main theme was composed by upstate composers Jay Unger and Molly Mason, who we were lucky enough to have in the studio with us last weekend to talk about their process of scoring the film Brother's Keeper. This year marks the 20-year anniversary of this compelling documentary.
For those of you who have not seen the film Brother's Keeper, it follows the case of Delbert Ward, who was accused of killing his brother, William Ward, in the rural farming town of Munnsville, New York, which is just north of Syracuse. William was found dead in his bed on the morning of June 6th in 1990. While people are found dead in their sleep every day in America, the coroner, during his autopsy report, suggested the possibility of suffocation as the cause of death. And something to know, these two men, who by now were quite up there in age, had slept in the same bed all of their lives.
Yeah, the local police in Munnsville were very quick to move on a possible mercy killing case, as William was known to have suffered severe injuries and to have lived a life in pain for years. He was 66 years old at the time of his death. Delbert, the accused brother, was 60 and lived with his three brothers, William, Lyman, and Roscoe, in the same dilapidated two-room shack for their entire lives. They lived on a dairy farm, which had been in their family for generations, and the Ward brothers, as they were known, were simple men who seemed to live in another time. They had no running water in their shack and virtually were illiterate. The film is as much about a trial of Delbert Ward as it is about the colliding worlds of simple country folk and the city slicker authorities who were out to get them.
Thank you. You just heard the song Lyman's Walk and Streets of Munnsville by Jay Unger and Molly Mason, the two composers that we are featuring on today's show who composed the score for Brothers Keeper. Last weekend, we were fortunate enough to catch up with Jay and Molly, and today you will hear some selects of an interview that we did with them. The first question is, in the most general sense, the film Brothers Keeper shows the convergence of two distinct worlds. The modern, calculating, often mean-spirited, city slicker law enforcement world, and the almost primal, natural, seemingly simple, rural world of a small town upstate, and specifically small farmers. Can you talk about how your music in the score to the film and the instruments you chose to employ clothe or mimic the latter world?
The first thing that I remember is when we said yes and decided to do this soundtrack was we went and visited the Ward Brothers just to get a visual understanding of who they were, where they were, what their life was like. And after that visit to the Ward Brothers in Munnsville, we both felt very strongly that old country music was kind of, well, traditional music, fiddle music, but old country music really was going to play a part in this soundtrack. It was what they felt familiar with and what they loved, and it was one of the topics that they actually were comfortable speaking with us about.
They were fans of old country music, those guys.
How did you guys become attached to the film? Like, how did the documentary filmmakers come to know you guys?
Right. Well, we first got a call, probably in 1991, and Bruce and Joe, who made this film, were familiar with the soundtrack from the Civil War, and the publicity that followed it talked about me as a composer of The Shokan Farewell and living in the Catskills and being a rural American-style fiddle player.
And that was the Ken Burns documentary.
The Ken Burns documentary, The Civil War. And so they thought, okay, here's, you know, rural American fiddle music from New York State, and it fits their film. So that's how it started. But I think one little interesting anecdote is that when the Civil War was completed, Ken Burns sent us a set of the VHS tapes, and we actually didn't have anything that played VHS tapes at home. So we went out, and we didn't have a TV at all at that point. Hadn't had one in 10 years. So we purchased a small VHS, a TV that had one built in, plugged it in, and before the tape went in, I was fishing around to see if we could pick up any stations without an antenna. And the local news station in Kingston, I guess RNN, came in. And there was a story, a news story on, and it was the Ward Brothers. And it was about Delbert being released after his first night in prison and how his brother had died and how he was being accused. And so about a year later, we get this phone call from Bruce or Joe, one of them, and he says, are you familiar with the story of the Ward Brothers who were arrested, you know, the arrest of Delbert Ward? And I said, yeah, that's the only news story I've seen in 10 years.
Wow, what are the odds?
Isn't that wild?
It felt like something important happened.
So I guess one of the questions I had is, what are some of the challenges that you guys experienced while making the music for Brothers Keeper?
One challenge that I think we both felt was to not interfere, since this is cinema verite, so it's the real people in real time. This wasn't a reenactment, it wasn't a collection of footage that happened to have been put together later. These filmmakers went out up and the story unfolded and they filmed it as it happened. So in a sense, we were intruding on the real lives of people and enhancing them or detracting from them or dignifying them or the opposite. So I just was conscious of that, and I think we talked about it a lot. If you watch the film, I think you'll notice that some films have music almost wall to wall, and this one is not one of those.
I think also that there was we had the feeling that the music should represent some sort of a dignity in the life, and right. there were several really humorous things in the film. They were just funny, but overall, we wanted to represent these guys who really were very different and lived a very different life, as you've already stated. But to have people try to understand it and look at their life in a more with more dignity and more sympathy, instead of just looking at them and saying, oh boy, that's weird, and laughing, and really the music goes a long way in setting the right mood for that.
And that is such a perfect lead in to another one of my questions.
Great.
And so this question is going out to you, Molly.
Okay.
And the song, Waltzing With You, you wrote it, and I feel, in some very simplistic way, sums up Delbert's life. You wrote the song for Delbert, who at the age of 60 danced for the first time in his life at a benefit to raise money for his trial, which was indeed an event which was one of the first times his community of only 400 people had come out for him and interacted with he and his brothers. Can you speak a little bit about, your feelings around that song?
It was the first time he had ever danced with anyone. And in the film, you can see his horror, almost nervousness. He was scared. This was like, and yet you could also see that this is something he had thought about before. He'd seen other people dance, and we just all humanly imagined that he had, in his mind, said to himself, oh, I wish I could dance with somebody, or maybe someday I'll dance with somebody. And here it was. Here was the moment. So he's very trepidatious and nervous and scared, yet as he dances with this woman for the first time, and she's, of course, very friendly and very nice to him. All these people are supporting him. He gets more comfortable and he grows to be a little more himself, and you can see he's really enjoying it.
Watching life just pass me by, so when you ask if I would dance, I was afraid to even try. But I heard that fiddle playing, and suddenly I knew all I wanted was a chance to be waltzing with you. Everybody knew but there we were together, gliding across the floor. All the dreams I never had, and all the love I never knew, now I found here in your arms, while I'm waltzing with you. Thank you. the dreams I never had and all the love I never knew. Now I found here in your arms while I'm waltzing with you. Thank you.
Okay, so we just heard the tracks Waltzing With You, followed by The Fog Scene, Delbert's Tear, and Roscoe's Waterfall from the 1992 film Brother's Keeper.
Today we're playing selects from the film score, which was composed, as Lisa said, by Jay Unger and Molly Mason, and they live right here in upstate New York. They're extremely active in the American acoustic music scene. Jay Unger is probably best known for composing
The Ashokan Farewell, right?
Yeah, which was used as the theme music to the 1990 Ken Burns documentary, The Civil War. You may know Jay and Molly from hearing them on their own radio program, which is called Dancing on Air, and it's on WAMC. Or perhaps you've heard their work on the soundtrack for the film Legends of the Fall. Jay and Molly are certainly a treasure for all of us up here and upstate. And we're now going to play the track I'm Just a Fiddlin', followed by another select from our interview with them last week.
I know that you guys composed the music to the footage, but was it to like a rough cut of the film, or was it raw scenes?
It was such a rough cut at that point. That was to get the actual thematic material. But then when we recorded it, it was pretty much locked at that point. So, you know, we could play to a scene, and we actually watched while we played. And I know that's kind of unusual. In the filmmaking world, it's more frequent that there'll be a piece of time, and the music's composed. A lot of it's done on synthesizers at this point in time, so that's all worked out that way. But here we were playing live to the visual with the dialogue in our ears, and very interestingly, a few years later, I was hired to play for a soundtrack for a film called Legends of the Fall, music composed by James Horner, and it was with the London Symphony. And, you know, I expected more of the kind of thing, the second thing I was describing, where the music's composed and it's cut to exactly, you know, a minute and 32 seconds and all that. But he actually watched the film while he was conducting. And he also brought as many members of the orchestra into the control room, and it was big, it held about 40 people, to see what they had just done and discuss the emotional content.
And he also scratched out some measures here and there if, you know, the emotional feeling that he wanted didn't happen at exactly the right second in the film. So as he was watching, he also occasionally would, you know, cut out a couple of measures here and there, or you know, make a little note to stick in some extra time.
And then dictate the parts for 90 people, you know, bar so-and-so is out, bar this, you know. It was much more complex to do what he did.
But
it was analogous to the way we were working, and I was very surprised to see that.
Is it, not being a musician myself, is it difficult to compose like to a scene like in that way, like so specifically, and like, no, I have to stop here because there's dialogue in this kind of thing, or?
I think for us it was more natural to do that. What do you think?
I think so. I mean, I remember watching the first rough of Brothers Keeper, and, you know, which was, of course, much longer. It was, I don't know, 2.5 hours or something, because, you know, as you know, they cut things down to make the real film. And we came up with lists, so they had marked scenes that they wanted or might want music for. So you first start with the most possible, and then it's not going to be that much by the time you get to the end. But so we went through and we saw the scenes where they probably are going to want music. And we would come up with lists of, I mean, we just sat on a couch and watched this and played things and said, well, this tune might work. Tunes that we knew, maybe traditional tunes, tunes we had written, things like that. That's how we began, trying to see what fit. And so we'd play something and, oh no, that's terrible, you know, scratch that, try another one. And come up with maybe two or three tunes that seemed like they would work for these scenes. And then we just keep whittling it down to the most appropriate piece of music for that. And of course, they were also whittling their film down as time went on, and they were finishing it, and scenes got shorter. And I do remember a few times us falling in love with a tune, and then when we got the final finished cut of the film, the scene had been shortened or changed a little bit.
Or was gone
entirely, which was really sad. But even just edited so that it was a little bit different, and we could no longer play this tune all the way through. We had to chop that down to just a little of the beginning and a little of the end to make it fit. So, you know, there's always a few boo-hoos and teardrops when people have to give up some of their favorite pieces of film or of music and to put the whole thing together.
So that was Molly Mason and Jay Unger talking with us last weekend about how they were composing for the film Brothers Keeper. Going to play a track now called Tractor's Breakdown from the film. So enjoy.
I don't think she's going to start, Lyman. Thank you.
end of it.
You are listening to WGXC 90.7, and you just heard The Trial by Jay Unger and Molly Mason, the composers of Brother's Keeper, which is the score that we're featuring today. We're now about to play another select from an interview that we did with the composers last week.
I didn't feel that your music in any way tried to be heavy-handed one way or the other.
Agreed.
Which, yeah, I find in a film like that such a feat. Hmm. Now I'm wondering if you were really conscious of not wanting to weigh in on the side of his guilt or non-guilt while you were composing, or if it's just, you know, as you have your own concerns as musicians, that really wasn't one of the things you thought about. In other words, the emotional leading of the viewer to come up with a certain decision about this character.
We did want to have the music to be sympathetic to them to the people as human beings, because their lifestyle was so different. But it was a conscious discussion between Joe and Bruce and us that this film would not have a point of, you know, wouldn't take sides. It would present a neutral presentation.
And
we did that together. I mean, that was their decision, and we went with that.
And in fact, you know, the story is really a bigger story than who done it, you know.
That's true.
And by the end of the film, the real story is all the people who stood up for the Ward brothers and, you know, and made sure that justice was done, or, you know, that everything was looked into and done in a right way and with honesty. And I think that's really the story, that these guys were protected and stood up for in a way that is very unusual and maybe growing more and more unusual in our life today.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a very old, almost Greek philosopher's view of justice. You know, real human justice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very in defense of the law and order system that we have.
just heard Cows on the Hill, followed by Gobblers from the 1992 documentary Brother's Keeper. We have one last clip that we're going to play from our interview with Molly J, telling us about what they're up to now with their own work. But we did want to dedicate this show today to Deb Samuels of Catskill, New York, who introduced us to Molly and Jay's work and the film Brother's Keeper. So thanks, Deb, for making us aware of this great material and great music.
Well, we wanted to ask you some things about your own lives as well.
Ah.
And let's see.
It's not nearly as interesting.
I bet it is.
Well, you have your own radio show, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about that show? And it's on WAMC?
It is, yeah. It's once a month. Mm. It's on a Wednesday night. It's called Dancing on the Air. And when did we start? 1989 is what I'm thinking.
I think you're right.
Really a long time ago. I know. Shocking, isn't it?
Shocking that you've been able to do it once a month since 89.
Well, if it was once a week, it would be very doubtful that we'd still be doing it.
Yeah.
But, you know, part what it is a live performance, and there's usually two, sometimes three musical acts. And as touring musicians, we are kind of isolated in a way because we're out playing our own concerts, and frequently there's no other act. And festivals are a chance for us to get together, whether the people in our summer camps at Ashokan, which I could talk about too, but this is a monthly chance to sit down with friends, usually, or musicians we admire, and it's very, very informal. And we
very social.
Yeah, we rehearse some tunes together. They play on their own. We have a dinner together, and it's just kind of a party on the air. That's what we like it to,
and
which keeps it fun.
We usually all play together too. That almost always happens.
Yeah.
We sit in with each other. So.
And it's obvious listening to it that there's almost no planning involved, which means that it goes from the sublime to the ridiculous.
Yes, people either like that or they don't.
And what time does it air when it's live?
A few minutes after 8 in the evening on the second Wednesday of each month.
8:06.
Right after the news, usually 8:06, that's right.
And you guys have live performances that are coming up too?
We do. On Sunday, March 18th, we're going to be at the Bardavon in Poughkeepsie with the Strawberry Hill Fiddlers. On Friday, March 16th, we'll be working with the Old Songs concert series in Voorheesville, New York.
Mm.
And then the next night, Saturday, March 17th, we're at the Unicorn Theater in Stockbridge.
It's a busy weekend for us.
Well, we're really, really fortunate that we were able to grab you before you're off and away to all these events. But hopefully some people that are listening can get out there and see you guys live.
Thank you.
So we have one more song from the soundtrack, Brother's Keeper, which is the closing theme from the film. But before we sign off, as always, we want to remind you to stay tuned at 12 o'clock noon for Jackie Thomas and his program, The Sound of Freedom.
You know, it's so interesting to hear back an interview that you did a week ago, and I noticed I said that the film in some ways was in defense of the system of law and order. What I meant to say was that it shows a community defending themselves against a system of law and order, while Brother's Keeper diligently and beautifully maps the events surrounding Delbert's arrest and the alleged murder of his brother William, the community's response, the trial, and the outcome, which we have no intention of giving away because we think you should all see the film. It's great. In a larger sense, Brother's Keeper is a film about the relative nature of justice and how justice can be warped or rendered inhuman by the injustice of the law. So until next time, be good to yourself, be better to your neighbor, and before you do anything, make sure you know the score.